morning. It's wonderful to have you with us. My name is Mark. I'm the pastor of BH1 Elim Church in Bournemouth. And we want to welcome you to our service on this Easter Sunday. What a glorious day, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We know that Jesus is alive. And I want to start by reading this passage to you from Luke chapter 24. It says this: on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they prepared, and they went to the tomb and found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. He is not here. He has risen." What great words to start our Easter celebration with. We're going to kick the service off today with a message from Chris Cartwright, who is the General Superintendent of the Elim Churches. And it'd be great just to hear from him on this weekend. Bless you.
Hi, everyone. I bring you greetings this Easter weekend from Elim's National Leadership Team. We're praying for you during this time of profound challenge and crisis. This Easter, perhaps more than ever in our lifetime, around the world, the church turns and returns to God's extraordinary, amazing, and unrestrained love for people everywhere. To the Father, who loves us so much that he gave Jesus his only Son. To Jesus, who came down into our world, who lived like us in full humanity, in lockdown, in a human body. To Jesus, who gave himself to die for our sins so that we can live eternally for him and with him. We gather over Easter weekend proclaiming that Easter changes everything, that Jesus died to deal with sin, sickness, and death, and that he rose again and is risen from the dead to give eternal life to all who believe and commit themselves to him. Over these past few weeks, we've had to adapt in so many ways to radical and necessary changes to us to minimize the spread of the coronavirus and to seek to keep one another safe. So many of our churches have responded creatively and positively to moving church worship services online and finding so many ways to stay connected. Many have faced real challenges in maintaining critical services in their community, care and outreach. Thank you so much for all you've been doing, that your dedication and sacrifice to maintain our commitment to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and also our commitment to those in particular need all around us in our wider community. Thanks to all our pastors, local church leaders, and volunteers across every part of church life and ministry. Special thanks to our chaplains and first responders who are serving on the front line in some of the most difficult circumstances of all. In our wider community, we want to continue to appreciate the key workers, doctors, nurses, carers, teachers, delivery drivers, refuse collectors, supermarket workers, and so many others who are taking the extra strain right now on behalf of us all. The real message of Easter has always been centered on the cross. I was struck again by familiar words from Hebrews 12 that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. To endure means to suffer for a greater purpose, to go through something hard and difficult and painful and costly. Endurance athletes know all about keeping on way beyond what they feel that their body can take, but for the prize that is ahead. Jesus endured the cross, and he took the pain and the shame for us, for the joy of bringing us to the Father. That's why this Easter, as we endure trials and challenges, and for many, genuine suffering, he is with us, helping us to endure. He's with us to bring his power, his presence, and his peace, so that we can live for him and witness to him as resurrection people loving, serving, giving to others, as well as ourselves. However we come through this season, let's be really clear. By God's grace and walking with Jesus, we will come through stronger, more committed to God, more sensitive and available to Him, and I believe more committed to one another and to those around us. We'll be sharing with greater clarity, courage, and conviction that Jesus is the hope of the world. An Easter blessing to close. I pray this Easter that you will come afresh to the risen Christ, that you will receive the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit from this moment on, and that you will face every situation and opportunity as carriers of His presence, His power, and His peace. Happy Easter.
That was really great to hear from Chris, our General Superintendent. We're going to worship now. Would you join with us this morning as we come together, even in our separate homes, we can still come together and worship Him together in spirit and in truth this morning.
Conqueror,
Before the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that even in the midst of all the chaos, this Easter time, we can know that you rose from the grave victorious and that you reign supreme and that the blood of Jesus makes a difference in eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to have a Bible verse read by Zoe Beth, and then we're going to hear some messages from one or two other pastors around the country who have just sent some videos to me in response to the question, what is church? So just sit back and enjoy this for a couple of minutes. Bless you.
Romans 10 verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Hi there, BH1 Church. It's Mike here, Mike Robbins struggling with lockdown in Newquay in Cornwall. What is church? Well, church truly carries the vaccine and the antidote for the biggest pandemic that this world has ever seen. And the biggest pandemic this world has ever seen is fear. And that fear comes from sin and the damage that sin has inflicted on this world. And ultimately, the question of eternal life. We carry the vaccine for fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. God is love. He's in the church. So we carry that love. That love vaccinates people from fear. It is the antidote to all pain. And friends, I think this is our hour and time to shine. Have a wonderful Easter.
Hi everyone to the church there in Springbourne. My name is Andrew Fox and we live and minister now in Austin, Texas, over in the United States. Mark used to be in my youth group when I was the youth pastor over there. That's our connection. Anyway, he's asked me to answer a question, what is church? And I think very briefly, it can be understood in three or from three different perspectives. Firstly, it is the hands and feet of Christ here on earth. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servants, enter into your rest. And those people will respond, well, what did we do? And Jesus will respond, what you did for the least of my brethren, you did for me. And so we are the expression of Christ through the hands and feet of Christ here on earth, through our good acts or through good works that we do. Secondly, I think the church can be approached as the gathering together of believers. It's not a building, it's not a place, it's not a program or a denomination, but the gathering of believers together to listen to God's word, to break bread together, communion, the Eucharist, and to pray together, worship together, fellowship together. I think the third expression or perspective of the church is found in Hebrews, where we gather with this great cloud of witness. So every time I get to go to England, usually in the summer, I love to visit the great cathedrals. And usually about lunchtime, there's a communion service where about 20, 25 people gather somewhere in the cathedral. And I love to join them. But it's not just those 25 people. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands probably, of people that have celebrated communion in that cathedral over the centuries. I'm joining with them. What a great cloud of witness that is. So I think very briefly, though it deserves a bigger explanation, what is the church? I think it's those three perspectives. Now, you have a great time there in England and carry on doing what you're doing. Love you and praying for you. Take care.
Hi everybody, Julian Downward here, pastor of Discover Church in Bournemouth. Hello to everyone at BH1 Elim. What is church? That's a question I think many of us have been asking ourselves over this last couple of weeks. And moving forward, I think there's something that we really need to know. I've been spending some time in Acts chapter 17 really recently, and this is where Paul is talking to the people in Athens. And he references the shrine or the offering to the unknown God and says, I can tell you who that God is. But this is what he says in verse 24 of Acts 17. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples. My answer to the question of what is or who is the church? You guys are the believers in Jesus Christ. You are not contained to bricks and mortar. You don't go to church. You are the church. Where you are right now, you are still the church. You can still be the church. You can be more church than you've ever been before. You are the people of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, right where God has placed you in the street that you live. Remember that going forward. God bless you guys. We love you very much. Jesus loves you even more.
Hi, BH1 Church. How you doing down there in sunny Bournemouth? Hi, Pastor Mark and all you folks down there. My name's Gary Gibbs. I'm the director of REACH, which is Elim's National Department for Church Planting and for Evangelism. So the question is, what is church? Well, you know already, it's not a building. The word that's translated church in the New Testament means literally the called out ones. So if you're a follower of Jesus, together we are the called out ones. We're the ones who've been called out of slavery to selfishness and rebellion against God, and called into the glorious freedom of the children of God. God's decided to get himself a family that he fills with his presence, fills with his power, and also gives us this amazing sense of purpose that we are to shine like lights in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. And if there was ever a time for us to be shining brightly with the love of Jesus and the goodness of Jesus and the servant heartiness of Jesus, it's right at this very time when things are so tough for so many people. So let's be who we're called to be, the family of God on a mission to make Jesus famous wherever we are on the earth. So God bless BH1 Church. Make a difference in Bournemouth and then head north.
Good morning, BH1 Elim Church Bournemouth and Hope FM. My name is Pastor Nathan Weaver. I'm the lead pastor of New Spring City Church in Sunderland. I also run the Elim Stockton Church and part of the regional team under Paul Hudson for the Northeast. Pastor Mark has asked me just a question. What is the church? Well, the church is a place where you can belong, where you can be family, where you can be healed, where you can be restored, where you can meet the real Jesus, where you can find hope, where you can find love in a world where there's no hope or love. And boy, do we need the hope and the love of a Saviour, which is Jesus. So I'm reading a book by Alan Scott, who's a Vineyard pastor. The book's called Scattered Servants. And he says this: the church is not defined by how well it gathers. The church is defined by how well it scatters. And that is so true. How many times have you heard that the building that we're in is not the church, but you and I are the church? And maybe it's taken something like the coronavirus for us to really understand that we are the church. And I want to say this, is that God's plan through Jesus is the local church. That's not buildings, that's through you, that's through me. That we can make a difference in our communities, that we can step up, that we can bring light to the darkness. I believe this is an opportunity for the local church and the kingdom of God to advance. And for that to happen, that means us as scattered servants need to step up as the church. There's more people listening to our messages. There's more people doing acts of kindness than there's ever been. And the church needs to be right central to that. So I just want to challenge you that you are the church, that you can make a difference, that you can be light in the darkness. And I want to say be blessed, stay safe. Together we can get through this. Together this country can be great again.
Hello, Mark and Karen and everyone at BH1. John Glass here, and it's great to speak to you today. The church is many, many things in the New Testament. It's a building, a bride, an army, and a family. But one of the most important, as far as I'm concerned, is that it's a body, fitly framed together, Christ at the head, and every part playing its own function. No part more important than the other, each part integrated into one great whole, fulfilling the purposes of God, being Jesus in this earth, representing heaven, and being part really of the body of Christ. God bless you today.
Wasn't it great to have those messages this morning from all those different pastors and ministers around the world, and to know that there's one thing that unites us, and that is the fact that we are church. And the reason we are church is because of what Jesus did on the cross. When he died and he rose again, He brought us together. He unified us with a cause and a mission to share his message with everybody who's hurting today. We're going to worship again before we come around God's word this morning.
Never learned to learn the song.
Yes, Lord, we know that you are our living hope. Lord, as we now come around your word, we just pray that you will bless it to us this Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Easter story begins with the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is a moment where those disciples that were following him and the story that he had and the life that he had lived up until this point was a life of amazing transformation and a life of social reformation, a life where everybody that came to him walked away having touched something and having been touched by God himself. So many people came to him and they were transformed in their physical bodies because he healed them. Jesus was known as the man that would touch the lepers and wouldn't avoid them. And we live in a time at the moment where nobody will go within 2 meters of each other. Jesus walked up to the lepers and he touched them. The lepers were outcasts in their communities. They were outside of the city. They weren't even be upwind of the rabbis and the Jewish leaders of the day. The lepers were kicked out of the culture. They were isolated. They were excluded. And yet Jesus broke through the social barriers of the day. He was not afraid to be in contact with those that were suffering, with those that were marginalized, with those that were isolated. Jesus connected to them. He touched them. He was with them. And the story of Jesus walking with his disciples is the God who is with us, the God who is there, the God who is close, the God who walks through walls to be present with us. And here we have this moment where after 3 years of revolution, where blind eyes have seen, where the deaf hear, where the lame walk, where the dead rise, Jesus is executed by the Roman powers of the day. The Jewish leaders have won. The Romans have conquered. The story is over. And you can imagine the moment where Jesus breathes his last and the sky blackens. And everybody walks away from that place beating their breasts. And the centurion says, "Surely this was the Son of God." That word was. It talks about the time before. This was a turning point moment. This was a time where the culture had broken down, where things had ended, where things had not gone the way they were supposed to go. And the story was over. Jesus was gone. The disciples had fled. There's no more healing. There's no more good news. There's no more to the story. If Jesus had just died on the cross for our sins, and this was the end of the story, then Easter would not be a fun time. We would serve a dead God. The place would be empty. I spent some time today, and I went over to our leisure center, and our leisure center at the moment is closed. The government have shut it down. There is no more life in our leisure center. I walked through the gym and took a couple of bits of footage, and if I can cut them into this, I will. And I was just struck by the fact that at a normal time of day when it would be busy and there would be people walking around it and there would be life in that place and people getting healthy and fit and well in that place, and it's empty. And it's gone. And at the moment, because of the way that things are, I don't know if we're going to be able to restart that thing properly again. I don't know if people will come back to it. I don't know if life will return to that place. I hope it might, but I don't know. And when the disciples woke up on Saturday morning, they had no idea of what was coming. They had no way of knowing if things were going to be okay. They had no way of guessing that it would be okay. And yet, these words of Jesus that he shared earlier on in the story is Jesus turned around to his disciples as he was stood at the temple, and he said, "I will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it." and I looked around this empty gym and I thought about what it would take to rebuild it. And the Bible says that Jesus said he would destroy the temple and in 3 days, 3 days, he would rebuild it. Our economy is in trouble. Our nation is looking at rebuilding what it means to be the soul of a nation at the moment. There is good things happening and there are terrible things happening. And we all look in our isolation, or we all look at the emptiness of tomorrow and we wonder. And yet, resurrection says, I will rebuild it. I will return the story back to the way it is supposed to end. You see, the resurrection story is not a story of this life that we have ends in death. The resurrection story is not a story of this train of humanity, its destination is despair. The story is not a story that ends badly. The story is not a story that ends with the hero being beaten forever. The story in Christian faith is simple. God loves us so much, he would rather die than be without us. And he loves us so much, and he is so able, that he will end our story with life, not end our story with death. And his story, Jesus' story, is a story of taking upon himself the sins of the whole world, to take upon himself the struggle, the suffering, the despair, the agony of life itself, and all that death brings, and the separation, and the isolation, and the rejection, and the won't be touched by others that the lepers experienced. All of those things, he took them upon himself, and in his last breath, he buried them in the empty tomb. On Sunday morning, the disciples arrived at the tomb, having heard the word that there's nobody there. And they arrived at the tomb, and they were looking for the dead body of Jesus. They were not looking for the living body of Jesus, because where have they taken him? Where has he gone? And yet, in that tomb, the angels were there telling them, he has risen. I look in the empty space of that leisure center, and I think one day it will be filled with life again. I look at the story of what may or may not happen in our culture and in our nation, but resurrection tells us that it will be filled with life again, that hope is the incessant life of God pumping into the world that we live in, that God breathes life into us, that he breathes life into Christ's body, that he brings about a newness and a new story and a new day and a new hope, and his hope will never disappoint, his ability will never be beaten, that even death cannot contain him, that he will rise again. And what resurrection tells us is two things: that in our own lives, in our own stories, that we have a choice in following Christ, and that is to in some senses die with him in the way he dies, in the way he dies spiritually, in the way he dies in terms of purpose, in the way he dies in terms of what should we be dying to. Dying to the sinful nature, dying to despair, dying to the power of death over our lives, dying to hopelessness, dying to faithlessness, dying to hate, dying to discontent, and coming alive in the story of Christ, coming alive to love, coming alive to joy, coming alive to peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-discipline, coming alive to all the things that matter in this world, because resurrection tells us that the end of the story is a story of there will be no tears, there will be no pain, there will be no isolation, there will be no loneliness, there will be no distance between us and God. That resurrection is the story of the God who has one, the God who is victorious, the God who shapes and changes our very lives with his life. That in his death, those things that destroy us are put to death. And in his life, those things that give us an eternity are brought to bear. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it." And today we know that no matter what is destroyed, no matter what comes our way, no matter what despair brings, he will rebuild our lives and give us a hope and a future that is sure. Resurrection is good news. It is what makes the news good. It is what brings us hope. It is what ignites a spark of life in us. It is what carried the disciples for the rest of their lives. Resurrection of Jesus means resurrection for us. It is because he lives, we live also. And so today, if you need to hear nothing else, hear this. The promise of Jesus is he will rebuild it. And right now, we could all do with a good dose of that hope. God bless you. And God be with you right now and for the coming days. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you for that incredible word, Pastor Gareth. It's so good to hear his word on Easter Sunday, isn't it? And to know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to conclude our time together today with a grand old hymn, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. There is power in the blood.
Thank you.
Yes, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. What an amazing truth, isn't it? This Easter and every day, of course, it is great to know there is power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to close our service today by doing something that's become a little bit of a tradition over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I mean that in the most positive sense of the word tradition. Often in church, we close our services with the grace. And I think when we can't be together, when we can't physically be in each other's company, it's really good to be able to remember those who we fellowship with, to remember our friends and our families. And so we're going to ask you to say the grace with us right now. And as we do so, just remember those who you wish that you could be with today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And may his grace be with you today. Bless you.